Well, what do you know about Jesus? He was born, he died, he came back to life. Ace, you know about Jesus. That's what we need to share. But Scripture has got so much more than that. So when I talk about Scripture, I'm talking about the Bible, and I'm talking about all of the stories in there, and all of the other bits as well, even the boring bits. I don't know how... I know, controversial. I don't know how many of you have started thinking, I'm going to read the Bible. And you've gone, I'll start at Genesis. That seems like a good place to start. And you start, and you get through Genesis. Yes! And then you get through Exodus, and all the cool stories in Exodus. Yes! And then you get to the next bit. And you're like, nope, done. Because I do that all the time, because I'm a really good procrastinator. That means that I get distracted quite easily. You do too? I'd never know that about you, Jess. You do as well, Liam. We've got a few people. It's really easy to get distracted by computers and other things that are in our life. And then we feel super bad because we're like, oh no, I haven't read my Bible and I need to go back to it. Or maybe I'll just leave it for today. But actually, Scripture is really important to us because it helps us to fight those battles. It helps us to be ready when we need it. So this session is all about what the adults have been doing, but also what we've been doing upstairs in JAM. Because what the adults have been doing is about spiritual warfare, and that's fighting against all the bad stuff that Satan is trying to hurl your way. And upstairs, we have been doing about the story of Moses and how Moses was given that first bit of Scripture, the first bit of written Bible. And now this is how it collides. Because the Bible is that weapon which we can use in spiritual warfare. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you were on a battlefield. How many of you think you would make a good soldier? Because we play too much Fortnite. I think we've got some people who have got lots of energy, so you might be good fighters. If you are a soldier, what do you think you need? A sword? A gun, so a weapon of some kind? So you might need armor? A sword, a shield, a computer?
Pen and paper, because you need
strategy. Pen and paper for strategy? A good heart.
Fellow soldiers.
So, what do you think would happen if we sent out all of our soldiers but didn't give them any weapons? You need a weapon in a battle, otherwise you can't do anything. So, we are still in a battle. If you want to find out more about that, go back and listen to Joy's sermon at the beginning of this series. We are still in a battle. We're still on the battlefield. Although Satan has been defeated, we're still on the battlefield. A way of looking at that is to look at Armistice Day. So, at the end of World War One, at the 11th hour, on the 11th day of the 11th month, the fog came. I didn't know that the fog came. It was signed that the war was over. That was it. That was done. But do you know how many men died on that day? Between the end of the war being signed and the war actually finishing. How many do you think, Mary?
1,000.
More. Liam, how many do you think? Less. So I'm going to tell you, because this could go on for ages. So it was 2,738 men died in between the war being declared over and the fighting actually finishing. So what was happening was there were still men on the battlefield. And although the enemy had been defeated, they were still trying to get off of the battlefield. And that's where we're at The enemy is defeated, but we're still on that battlefield. But God doesn't leave us without a weapon. He gives us something that we can use. Now, Satan, when he comes at you, do you think he comes at you like a sniper from far away? What are some of the ways that we might feel Satan in our everyday life? What's some of the things that he tries to do? Satan leaves the keys of your car in the car. And then you get very frustrated. And then you try and break into your car.
Yeah.
And then you break your car.
Yeah.
And then you're late for a meeting.
Yeah.
And then
you have to pay a lot of money.
And then you have to pay a lot of money. He comes in the little things. He tries to tell us that we're not worth anything. He tries to tell us that actually we can't do something when Jesus tells us we can. Yes, Liam. Gives us nightmares. He comes in when we think that we're safe. And we are safe. But he just tries to creep in there. Because Satan is like a really, really, really bad loser. So he is the person who's lost a game and so flips up the game board so that nobody else can play. He wants to spoil things. You hate those kind of people. I hate those kind of people too. I hate Satan. He wants to spoil things for us because he knows he's already lost. But he wants to take a few people down with him. So God, instead of leaving us, you know, without anything, he gives us something. And Paul reminds us that he gives us something. So he says this. Stand firm against the enemy. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the kind of swords that he would be talking about, there are two kind of swords that were being used at this time. A broadsword, which was a really big sword, which needed two hands. Yep. Real sharp plastic. And a gladius, which is a shorter sword, double-sided. And this sword would be used for thrusting. Jesse, do you want to come? And I'll demonstrate. So what you do, you'd have your shield. It would be like this. And then you would thrust. Now, how close do I have to be to my enemy for this sword to be worth anything?
Quite close.
Quite close. It's an up-close battle. Thanks, Jess. That was a really good death. You have to be really close to use this kind of weapon. And Paul particularly uses this phrase because he knows that actually Satan comes close. He isn't the sniper. He doesn't do it from far away. He comes in close. And so we are given a weapon that we can use close up. But what does it even mean? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's a bit complicated. So we're going to unpack that. But before we even unpack that, the first thing that he says is, does he say, fight back against Satan? No, he says to stand firm. The battlefield has already been won. We don't need to do anything other than stand the ground because the battlefield already belongs to Jesus. So we're just standing there with our weapon, keeping Satan back. So, we're standing there, we have our weapon, but our weapon, do you think it's made of plastic? No, it's something stronger than that. Do you think it's made of metal? No, it's something even stronger than that. It's not even that metal, which I can't pronounce, but you did it really well. So this weapon is Scripture. And we can use it to defend ourselves. And we know that this can be used as a weapon, because Paul tells us in Hebrews as well, he says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the gladius, the two-edged sword. And it cuts through. And then we have the example of Jesus using scripture for exactly this. So, Liam, you said that you would come and help me with this bit. So, you're going to have the sword. And Jesus used scripture as a weapon. Jesus went in, you're Jesus, by the way. Jesus went into the desert and he was tempted. Jesus was so hungry from fasting, so the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And Jesus thought, "Stab me." Okay. And he did it by saying this:
"Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
So he was quoting there from scripture, from Deuteronomy 8:3. And Satan has had a little bit of a cut here, but he carries on. He goes and takes Jesus up to the top of a temple and suggests that he throws himself down. And this time, Satan also uses scripture. He says, "You know what? He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands he will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against stone." But he leaves out that he will guard you in all his ways. Satan knows scripture, but he leaves out the important bits. So how do we fight against somebody who knows everything? You use the same weapon. And Jesus said this:
"On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test."
So again, he blows. Go and stab me again. Oh. Harder. Ha! Satan wasn't through, though. And he took Jesus up to a high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, "All of these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus took the last stab and said,
"Go, Satan, for this is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only."
Big stab. Wah! Thank you. So Jesus used scripture to defend himself against Satan. Jesus responded with specific words. Now, do you think that Jesus did this kind of half-heartedly knowing the scripture? Half-heartedly knowing the Torah, the Bible? No. Do you think when Satan was saying that, he was like, "One second, let me get out my handy pocket-sized scroll, and I'll just look through and see if I can find the right words for this particular moment"? The new version? The U version. He did not use the U app. Not even his tablet. He said specific words because he knew them off by heart. So when things were going bad against him, he knew exactly which weapon to use. And so he could cut down that enemy quickly. So, I don't know how many of you have seen The Mask of Zorro. It's a bit of an old movie these days. But there's a bit in it that I love. And it's when the Mask of Zorro apprentice is taking over. And he's got his sword and he is ready to fight. And the master goes, "Do you know how to use that thing?" And the apprentice goes, "Yeah, you put the pointy end in the man." But then there's a whole montage of how he trains, because everyone loves a good fighting montage. Because just knowing what a weapon is for is not enough. Does anyone want to fight me?
Yeah.
Ruth, do you want to come up?
There we go. You ready? Okay.
That was a dirty trick, I know. I don't know how to fight. I don't know if that came across.
Well, it did.
I'm not a trained professional in fighting with a sword. Although, Ruth, you're pretty good. But one of the things that I want to be is trained in fighting with the sword that Jesus gives us. And the only way that we can do that is by practicing. And how do we practice with the sword that is Scripture? We learn it. We memorize it. We use it in our daily life. And this is one of the reasons that parents, you know, you try and instill those early memories of Bible stories into your children. It's one of the reasons that we talk about using Bible apps and having daily devotionals, that setting aside time to be with the Word so that we are familiar with it, so that it's not like some weird thing that just points and sticks in the right place with a hope. This is a really skilled thing which God has given us and which we can use well. Now, God is good. God has defeated the enemy, so we're okay. But we still have times when it's tough, when we need to defend ourselves, when we need to stand our ground. One of the things that we've got today, which you can look at later, is lots of different ways of getting back into the Bible. If you don't have a particular thing that you use with your children, because like getting into the Bible is difficult, we've got active things which you can do. Because learning the Bible doesn't have to be about sitting there and going, okay, I will remember this verse today. Some of you may learn like that. That's great. Some of you won't learn like that. Some of you will prefer the app. Some of you will prefer listening to the Bible and learning it that way. Some of you will prefer actually actively going out and serving and looking and finding the verses which talk about serving and how do we do that and knowing them really well so that you can use that. But we have a whole load of books from the GoFiles bookstrip store which you can buy today if you want to. I don't have a card machine, it's only cash. But they are all there and the bookshop is available throughout the week. So just letting you know that is there for you. But what I really want you to leave with today is that we do have a weapon that is God-given and we can use it because Jesus has told us that that is what we should do. To not give in to Satan. To not let those little things that he's drip-feeding into your ear become a thing that takes hold, but to stand firm and to cut him back and use the weapon that God gives us, which is the Scripture. We're doing something else now. We're worshipping, because that is another way that we use Scripture. If you look through so many of the worship songs that we sing, the old time hymns that are used, so many of them take from Scripture verbatim, that means word for word, because it is good words that are strong and are powerful. Thank you. 18.